This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
So, what happens if the super committee doesn't come up with anything super?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the economics behind a big drop in teenage births. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed at the open this morning. The Dow is up 27 points at 11,798. The Nasdaq down about 0.3%. S&P 500 basically flat right now. We got earnings this morning from ketchup maker Heinz, which says its sales here in North America were down about 1%. That may not sound that bad, but combine it with the rising cost of ingredients, and Heinz says it's going to have to raise prices, close some plants, and lay off some workers. Now to Washington, where it's going to be a busy weekend for the Congressional Super Committee. Lawmakers have just 5 days left to find $1.2 trillion in cuts to the deficit over the next 10 years. Now, it looks like there are three possible outcomes: a really impressive deal that gets the job done, a deal full of accounting tricks and rosy scenarios, or no deal at all, which would trigger automatic spending cuts. David Kelly is chief market strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds, and he's with us now live from Boston to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, David, what do you think? What are you expecting from the super committee?
Well, I'm afraid it's most likely going to be no deal at all. I think the problem is that neither side really has an incentive to do a deal here. The big stick which they're using to hang over this committee is, if you don't come up with a deal, we're going to do automatic cuts, sequestration of about $1.2 trillion. But that doesn't kick in until 2013. And so we've got a presidential election and obviously congressional elections between now and then. So if you're the Republicans, you think maybe you'll get a better deal at the end of 2012. And if you're the Democrats, you're so sore over what happened last summer that I don't think you're in a mood to make a deal either. So I'm in the no-deal camp.
Well, what do you think would be the ramifications of that? Do you think that we could get downgraded again by another ratings agency, for instance?
Yeah, I think we could get downgraded by a rating agency, but I don't think it's that serious an issue. I mean, look, we have got a chronic budget problem, but we do not have a crisis. This is something we can work through over a number of years. We need a little adult leadership to do that. But when it comes to the rating agencies, I mean, the truth is the rating agencies aren't going to tell us anything we didn't already know about the state of the U.S. budget. And because of that, I wouldn't expect that much in the way of a long-lasting market reaction.
But many people who raise the big red warning flags about our debt situation, our long-term debt situation, say, look, we better do something soon or we're going to end up like Greece. I mean, if we keep punting this thing along, is that a fair situation?
No, not at all. I mean, if you look at our total debt, our net debt relative to the size of our economy, it's about 70% right now, 70% of GDP. In Greece, it's 160% of GDP. We've got a long, stable democracy. We have the ability to do this. We just need to make some adjustments both on the entitlement side and the revenue side. If we do that, we can deal with this problem.
David Kelly, chief market strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Well, today in Indonesia, President Obama attended a signing ceremony, but he wasn't the one doing the signing. The president stood watching as executives from airplane maker Boeing signed a deal to sell 230 planes to an Indonesian carrier called Lion Air. Now, that's Boeing's biggest commercial aircraft order ever. And the White House claims it'll create 110,000 jobs here in the U.S. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler fact-checks that number.
Boeing won't specify how many people will be hired, but spokesman Doug Alder says Boeing has added 12,000 new jobs this year, and it expects similar increases going forward.
So as we add jobs here, our suppliers have to keep up with us as we increase production, and that in turn causes them to add more jobs. So it's the ripple effect across the entire U.S. economy.
Spread across suppliers, experts say that figure of 110,000 jobs probably isn't far off.
I don't have a big problem with the arithmetic, but I do have a few academic quibbles.
That's Gary Huffbauer with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. His quibble is with the timeline.
These jobs are going to be over a period of years, probably at least 4 years.
Boeing says it will be more than a year before it even begins production of its new 737 MAX aircraft. So the deal may result in 110,000 jobs, just not overnight. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is reporting this morning that teenage girls in the U.S. are having fewer babies than ever before. The teenage birth rate has hit its lowest level since 1940, when the government started keeping track. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Not so long ago, demographers were worried about rising teen birth rates, egged on by celebrity moms like Bristol Palin and the movie Juno.
There it is. That little pink plus sign is so unholy.
So what happened in the space of a few years?
Less sex and more contraception.
That's Bill Albert with the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. He says the rise in teen birth rates in 2006 and 2007 was a blip in a long period of declines. He credits better sex education for last year's big drop and the bad economy.
Now, I'm not here to suggest that teens are checking the Dow Jones average before they hop into the sack, but they're not immune to the business cycle either.
Albert says teens are watching their parents and neighbors struggle, so they may think better of starting families. And adults are having fewer babies, too. Birth rates for all age groups fell, except for women in their early 40s, who don't have the luxury of waiting for the economy to improve. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, to a man who is suing Bank of America. According to the Tampa Tribune, the man opened an account decades ago, and as of 2003, he had put about $59,000 into it. But when he checked his balance in 2005, the account only had $1,400 in it. That's because, he alleges, Bank of America mixed up his account with another man of the same name. What's the name? Konstantinos Alexopoulos. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. It's APM, American Public Media.
There are a lot of weapons used in wars between nations. Take currency.
So if you cheapen the dollar, other countries retaliate. They cheapen their currencies as well. So it sounds good at first, but it degenerates and can be very dangerous.
Use with caution, though. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Currency Wars, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.